Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dryad Sold by Jess Mountefield. Narrated by Elizabeth Klett. Chapter 1. 234. That was how many bricks I'd counted on the opposite wall of my cell. I'd been in it with no one but Sen for company for what felt like days. Zephyr was in a large canopied area in a yard nearby. He could fly away if he wanted to, the only one of the three of us who could. Of course, Sen and I could have left as well if we'd truly wanted to, but that was against the point of us being here. We were in solitary confinement in a maximum security area of the prison. It wasn't ideal, but I had accepted it. Given what people said about female prisons, I had it fairly easy. No one was going to mess with me when they were aware my powers still worked just fine. It was almost crazy having the guards treat me with so much more respect than everyone else around here, but there wasn't much I dared to do. I'd seen our lawyer just once. At first, the guards had woken me up every few hours to stop me from sleeping, but Sen and Zephyr had both turned aggressive, the dragon threatening to tear the next guard who tried it limb from limb, and Sen rushing at anyone who got too close to her tiny frame. She could move faster than most rodents, and she had spores she could release. Of course, they didn't know for sure that Zephyr and I could communicate, and tried it again an hour or so later. They came close to the door, but Zephyr had let out a loud roar and broke the chain they'd pinned him down with before shattering the nearest door to him with a single flick of his tail. On top of that, Sen chose that moment to leap up to our cell door, open the slot they used to pass me things like food, and eject a cloud of red spores through it. As I recalled the surprise on the guard's face, I smiled. At least I wasn't in prison alone.
"You should sleep. We have a big day tomorrow," Zephyr suggested.
"Surely it's today already?" I replied. Sen nuzzled my neck, her feet in a small cup on the pillow beside me. There wasn't much water in it. The guards were being stingy in that regard, but it would keep her alive.
"Technically, yes. About 4 more hours until we're officially supposed to wake up. We should sleep before then."
"I know." I looked at the bricks again, beginning to count. Maybe this time I'd fall asleep before I was done. At some point I must have drifted off, losing count, then coming to and trying to continue later. Zephyr was asleep this time, and a slight movement of my head confirmed Sen was as well. It felt strange when they were both asleep and I wasn't. I was so used to being connected to both of them that my mind was too quiet when they weren't sharing it with me. I could listen into their dreams, but I had to concentrate, and they were hard to follow even if I did. Zephyr's dreams didn't make much sense, and Sen's were even worse, the Myconid thinking almost entirely in pictures and color. I wondered what Zephyr made of mine, but I never remembered to ask if he even listened in to any. Sighing, I tried to go back to sleep again, but the truth was, I was terrified. I might have walked into the prison of my own free will, and I was convinced I was innocent of anything but defending myself. However, I was still about to be put on trial for terrorism and the murder of members of the United States Army and agents of the division of the government responsible for monitoring mythicals. The lawyer the organization had hired for me had been able to visit me once and would be present, but he'd informed me that it would be a closed-door affair with a secret jury. There was no way to know what was coming, and no way to know if the trial would be fair or not. A part of me truly hoped it would be impartial, and I would walk free in a few days, or however long it took. But part of me was resigned to this being a joke, to needing something more to get the jury to believe I was innocent. My lawyer had made sure I understood the importance of stating how I'd given myself up willingly, and that I was capable of leaving the prison they were holding me in at any point. There was nowhere on the planet where I would be trapped or not able to escape. Not when I had funky elf superpowers, and a dragon and a myconid to help me. Since I was being charged with terrorism, I couldn't call anyone, and I didn't get the usual treatment. They could hold me indefinitely, and they could rig everything. Somehow I had to find a way to melt their hearts, no matter who they were. But I would be the first to admit that being able to call someone would have been helpful. Not only did I want to reassure my parents that I was okay, but I also wanted to talk to Minsheng, Daisy, and the others back at the warehouse. I'd considered bringing my communication stone in with me so I could talk to Ronan, the centaur who helped guard the warehouse sometimes, but I knew he was going to be grieving his friend and mentor, Lorkin. I also didn't think the people here were going to take too kindly to me entering a trance with a stone on my forehead. There was also the safety of the stone to consider. I'd promised Ronan and Lorkin I'd keep it a secret. I didn't want the guards to try to take it because they saw me using it and didn't understand. Humans could sometimes activate them if they had some mythical DNA in their family tree. I couldn't take the risk one of the guards might have what they needed, so it was back in my room, along with the pot plant I'd been caring for and several of my most prized possessions. There were two exceptions, my bracers and my necklace. I could take neither off. The guards had tried their damnedest to take them from me, but they were magically fixed to me. I was pretty sure I'd taken off the necklace I'd inherited from Tuviel a couple of times, but it was as if they knew I needed them now. It had caused some problems with the officers on the way in. They'd insisted on getting wire cutters. They'd realized I wasn't faking it when the cutters had shattered, and I'd had to use my powers to stop the flying pieces and save everyone nearby from serious wounds. Just another thing on the list of unconventionality when it came to putting me in prison. The sounds of footsteps on the linoleum outside my room made me finally stir enough to wake Sen. When I heard the jangle of keys outside my door, I reached for Zephyr with my mind. "Wake up, buddy," I said. "It's showtime."
"You need to shower first," he replied, sounding only partially awake. "I've got half an hour more."
I frowned, but he was right. There was no way I was going to turn down a shower. I couldn't get one as regularly as I'd have liked as it was. "Will we let them keep us here if we're convicted?" I asked him a moment later, trying to imagine what life might be like if we were in prison a long time and not just while awaiting the trial. Of course, some people waited weeks and even months for their trials, and I'd only been in prison a few days. Still, it was something to consider. What would it be like to be here more permanently?
"We'll take ourselves somewhere else. Promise to be good boys and girls if we can live on an island by ourselves or something. But it's not going to happen. We can prove we were attacked for defending ourselves every time, or had probable cause, or whatever Robert said."
I nodded, grateful for the vote of confidence, and let myself be led to the shower.
"Now none of your shenanigans. Just shower quickly and get your clothes back on," the guard said.
I wasn't sure what he meant, but I didn't reply. I'd barely used my powers in prison. Only a couple of times when either another inmate had gotten a bit too friendly, or when the guards hadn't given me the courtesy of privacy while showering. Again, it had served to make me grateful I had powers and wasn't actually at the mercy of anyone. As soon as I was dressed and presentable again, Sen and I were led to a car. Not long later, Zephyr came walking around the side of the building.
"They're expecting me to fly again," he said when he saw the small car.
"Afraid so," I replied, walking up to him despite the guards calling for me to get in. I leaned my head against his, having missed his presence beside me. Normally, they let us hang out together, but each night we had to sleep separately. It felt wrong after always being with him.
"It won't be much longer," he replied,
having read those thoughts.
A few more days for this case, and then we'll be cleared and back to our warehouse.
The surety in his voice almost convinced me he had no doubts, but neither of us could hide our emotions, and I could feel his anxiety. I placed a hand on his shoulder, enjoying the feel of his shiny and smooth bronze scales. The guards had given up trying to get me into the car, but I noticed one of them had a taser out, as if he'd been considering sneaking up on Zephyr or me.
"I wouldn't use that on either of us if I were you," I warned. "It bounces off the dragon's scales and starts fires."
"What about you? I'm pretty sure you're not made of anything but flesh and blood."
"I'm not," I replied. "But if you use that thing on me, my reflexes will kick in. I'll suck the air out of your lungs and the lungs of everyone within 20 feet. You'll suffocate before either of us can stop it."
It was a lie. I had no idea what would happen if I was hit with that thing, but I kept my eyes on the guard, and he faltered.
"Right," I said, snapping my head back to the guard holding the car door open. "Shall we?" No one argued or tried anything as I got in the car. Sen dropped onto the seat beside me again, then climbed up to the window, enjoying looking out. We were driven a long way, the cops having to stop a couple of times to use the restroom. The sun came up as we traveled, the new day bringing with it the hope we all felt that this was the beginning of the end. They were estimating that it would take 3 days for the court to hear everything, and then they were due to decide as swiftly as possible, the jury being kept locked in a room until they'd made their minds up. When our car pulled up outside the courthouse, plenty of reporters were present, many with flashing cameras. I didn't see our lawyer yet, but everyone got out of my way, and Zephyr landed beside me a moment later. We'd already been briefed that he could fit inside the building with me, and it had been agreed that I was going to be taken in through the civilian entrance because of it. That meant I could see Min Sheng, Daisy, Chris, and Erlon, who were waiting just inside the building. I noticed Erlon had on a jacket with particularly large pockets, and Newton's head peeped up out of one briefly. It made me grin, and wish I could see some of the others, but the obvious mythicals and anyone who might also be arrested had stayed away for safety. They wouldn't be allowed in the courtroom, but I hugged each one of them, refusing to be rushed by the guards. Sen jumped from shoulder to shoulder, hugging everyone and grinning with pleasure, her little mushroom head wiggling back and forth when Min Sheng tried to tickle her. As Chris hugged me, I felt his fingers slip something down the top of a bracer. I had no way to know what it was, but I suspected I had a bug on me, and my friends now had a way to listen in on everything. He winked, and I gave him a knowing grin.
"Did Chris just slip you something?"
Zephyr asked.
"Yep. A bug, I think."
"Useful. Shame it wasn't pizza."
"I can ask for some later at the hotel."
"Don't think we'll get it. It's not like we're here for a vacation."
"No, but we can stay up and watch old movies all night. I think we've got a room on the top floor so you can fly in."
"Do you think they go to this effort for other people who might be criminals?"
Zephyr asked, as we walked down familiar halls into a different room than the one they'd used during the investigation. This one was smaller and set up more like an official courtroom, although a portion of the chairs near the door had been removed. Robert was waiting inside the room, a smile on his face when he saw me, Sen, and then Zephyr, as the dragon squeezed his large frame through the door to try to rest in the space that had been cleared. The rest of the building was empty today. Zephyr's back half spilled out into the hallway, and several guards stayed out there to make sure no one came along. The trial was supposed to be a closed-room affair. No media and no outside observers. Just the lawyers, the charged, the judge, the jury, and the guards necessary to make everyone feel safe. I smiled as I thought about the last part. It was just a show to make them all feel better. I'd easily taken on so many men before, and few of them were even openly carrying weapons. If I'd wanted to murder them, none of them would have stood a chance, and I hoped that would work in my favor. It took a little while for everyone else to appear, few of them wanting to go past Zephyr. Not until one jury member had stepped over his tail were the others willing to follow. I fought to hide my grin at the whole thing, and I even caught my lawyer smirking.
"They really think I'm going to eat them, don't they?"
Zephyr said a moment later. "Yeah. Maybe I can use it as leverage to get pizza."
"Oh, in that case, I'll look a little more threatening."
I snorted before realizing no one else could hear what he was saying, then coughed into my hand. "Can I get some water?" I asked, trying to sound as if I had a tickle in my throat. Robert gave me a look that made it clear he was curious, but he didn't do anything but hand me a bottle. With everyone else in the room, the judge finally appeared, and we were all instructed to be seated. Chapter 2. I waited as the jury was told what I was being accused of. Then it was my turn to make a statement. I had it written down, something Robert had prepared with me earlier. "Thank you," I said as I got to my feet. "I understand this has all been a little different from normal proceedings, and I appreciate you accommodating us, especially regarding the bond between Zephyr, Sen, and me."
"Yes, well, it is what it is. Let us hear what you have to say for yourself," the judge said, sounding almost bored and more than a little grumpy. I gulped, hoping it wasn't a sign of things to come, and glanced at the papers in front of me. "I'm Ayla Faye Carter," I said. "I grew up not far from here, adopted by two very amazing people. I believed I was human for most of my life, so I appeared human and formed friendships with humans. Then one day I was mugged. That mugger led me to a warehouse where I found Zephyr, the dragon you see before you. Since that night, I have been hunted, harassed, attacked, and even had snipers attempt to assassinate me." I looked at the jury, pausing where Robert had put a marker. I couldn't read all of the people in the jury area and what they thought of me, but they were riveted, if nothing else. In those first few months, Zephyr was tiny. He was no bigger than a cat when he hatched, but we bonded right away. The magic of the bond made me aware of him and connected and made him aware of me. At the same time, I realized I could control the air around me. I ran into a man who had studied mythicals. He took me in, taught me to control the magic I had suddenly developed, and kept me safe. "This is all very well, but you're on trial for the murder of 5 government agents and soldiers and an unprovoked attack on a United States military base. This is irrelevant. What do you have to say for yourself on that score?"
the judge demanded. "I feel this leads to that and explains my reactions and beliefs, Your Honor," I replied, before glancing at my notes. The judge frowned. I thought he would stop me, but he sighed and looked down. "Despite thinking I was safe, the agents never gave up chasing me. I spent months trying to find a mythical haven known as the Sanctuary, a peaceful group of mythicals who had hidden from the world to live in peace and happiness. I even had to leave there to avoid bringing trouble to their door. I'm sure you all know what happened next. I went public, offering those agents a chance to end things peacefully. They've continued to hound me."
"Don't forget us," Zephyr said.
"They've also continued to hunt Zephyr and treat him like a threat."
"He'll be able to speak for himself in a short while," Robert said, interrupting me. "He's been accepted as a witness."
"He has?" the judge asked, his voice growing shrill. "When did a beast get given the right to talk in a court of law? We..."
"When I proved I was sentient, Your Honor,"
Zephyr interjected, lifting his head and taking up a little more space than he usually would. He emphasized the last two words, reminding the judge that he was supposed to be acting with dignity and grace.
"I've spoken to people on many occasions, and am entirely capable of rational thought. I assure you I can give an account of my own events."
I caught a grin from someone on the jury. The young man was sitting back, one arm over the back of the long bench. He looked more relaxed than everyone else put together. "Anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted," I said, "a mythical appeared the night before we attacked the military base. He told us his kind had been attacked, and only he had managed to escape. He led me and a small team of mythicals, including Zephyr, Sen, and a centaur called Lorkin, who was one of the Sanctuary's council members, to the base. We tried to subdue the forces there without lethal force. There was a mishap and a couple of guards were injured, but our medic and theirs worked together. We then liberated 12 elves who had been held there against their will and experimented on, all of whom are now at the Sanctuary, recovering from their ordeal and properly learning how to control their powers. Both Lorkin and the mythical who'd led us there lost their lives to this endeavor." As I finished speaking, I pictured Lorkin lying on the floor of the compound, Dainera at his side, the majestic mythical dead, but somehow still managing to look peaceful. A woman from a table on the other side of the judge swept to her feet and motioned for a TV to be turned on. She showed footage from the night of the compound attack. It clearly depicted the events I'd referred to when the guard tower had been caught in a ball of flames. "More than a mishap," she said. "You blew up the guard tower." I took a deep breath while thinking about the best reply. "I mentioned that," I said. "It was an accident. One of the elves elsewhere didn't realize the vapor cloud from Zephyr's breath was too close. When he could first breathe the vapor, it wasn't flammable. It now appears to be. I'd known for a little while, and I'd thought everyone I took into the battle was also aware."
"So you admit that you knew this was possible?"
"Of course.
Yet you didn't take precautions?"
"I took all the precautions I'd thought of, and I spent the next 10 minutes using all the power available to me to get those men out of the fire and get them medical treatment."
"But they died."
"So I've been told, although my medical team informed me they were stable and would live before we left." I frowned, feeling flustered. I reached out, and Zephyr sent calm feelings my way. It was enough to help me refocus. I couldn't let this woman get under my skin. She wanted that, wanted me to say something that made me look bad. I had to defend my position and restate what had happened again and again. I stuck to my story, but even I could see that her view of things was making me look bad, and at least a few members of the jury were beginning to look angry. I tried not to worry about it, knowing Robert would be asking me more questions at the end to make it easier for me to convince people I was innocent of anything but defending the mythicals who had been imprisoned.
"But the crux of this is that you feel you are above the law, don't you, Aella?" the woman asked, after trying for a while to get me to admit that I didn't care if people died, as long as they weren't my people.
"No. If I felt that way, I wouldn't be here right now."
"You've finally been arrested. That's why you're here, but..."
"No," I interrupted. "An arrest warrant was issued for me, yes, but you could send the Army of the United States to face Zephyr, Sen, and me, and you wouldn't be able to arrest me if I wasn't willing to come and stand before you. I can hide from every method known to man to find me. Heat sensors, cameras, you name it. We can fly. I could go anywhere." The lawyer scoffed, and I frowned, knowing most of them didn't believe me. I considered showing them, making a twister right in the middle of the courtroom, or something else that would show them that I knew what I was doing. But I saw Robert shake his head, as if he read my mind. "I'm here because I want justice. I want mythicals to be free, to be treated like real people, not hunted or tested or used as lab rats. I'm here because I still believe in the American justice system."
"Yes, well, it's not your beliefs on trial, it's your actions, and you killed people in cold blood because they were human."
"Objection, testifying," Robert said as he stood up.
"Please ask questions," the judge said, looking at the lawyer opposite me. She nodded before calming down.
"Do you like humans?" she asked.
"If you mean the species in general, it's not perfect, but I like many of them, and humanity in general, yes,"
But you don't like all humans.
No, no one does.
I don't like all elves, either.
You don't?
She asked, sounding as if she didn't believe me. There's an elf who accused me of a bunch of stuff when I arrived at the sanctuary, because they saw me as an outsider. I grew up in the human world. I wasn't one of them.
But you've proved you're one of them now, haven't you? Made it clear you couldn't care less about the race that raised you?
I sighed as I shook my head. No. I still don't get along very well with said elf. He wishes he was bonded with the last dragon left alive. But I didn't have to prove myself to him or anyone else. I've defended Mythicals the way I wish someone was there to defend Zephyr and me in our earliest days, and I'll continue to do so.
Not if you're behind bars, you won't.
I fought not to roll my eyes. I would not be behind bars, but I was beginning to feel like they were going to find me guilty and try to make it happen. Thankfully, she soon finished her questioning, and I was allowed to take questions from my lawyer. He had me go back over several things again, asking me questions in different ways and getting me to elaborate on things I'd said earlier. It calmed me, but the jury didn't look convinced. One woman had her arms crossed and was glaring at me. Mr. Chill still appeared that way. We went through the motions and then I was done. Zephyr was called next, although he didn't move. He projected his voice well enough that everyone could hear him, and I was proud. The dragon had everyone mesmerized, and I thought I saw a hint of fear as the lawyer acting for the prosecution came forward to ask him questions. Her hands shook, although she hid it by putting them on the table in front of her and leaning forward. Zephyr's answers came thick and fast, the great dragon remaining calm under the barrage. I once again marveled at the wisdom he displayed, but again, she insinuated that he couldn't care about humans.
On the contrary, he replied, my genetic memories include many humans. My greatest ancestor, Azergad, has many memories of him and his bonded elf Tuviel working with the humans of the era to protect this planet from another threat. I have a lot of respect for the humans in my memories. There was once no difference between our kinds. We all lived together on this planet.
What changed? She asked. Zephyr tipped his head to the side. It was a great question. What had led humanity and Mythicals becoming so estranged from each other?
Many things. A religious sect played a big part. They decided our magic must be of the devil. Many elves were burned as witches. Greed played another part. Unicorns were almost wiped out for their horns in much the same way many other creatures have been hunted since. Sometimes people fear what they do not understand. People fear me, and I am constantly judged to be a beast, despite everything I know.
This stunned the room into silence, and even the lawyer who was trying to get Zephyr to trip himself up didn't seem to know what to say at first.
So you don't hate humans from thousands of years ago, but you hate us now because of what we've grown into?
She suddenly asked. I almost shot out of my seat to object, but Robert kept me from doing so. I reached for Zephyr with my mind instead, but he was already opening his mouth to reply.
I don't hate anyone, but there are some humans who have come to fear and hate us because we've not been in their world for too long. It's time that changed.
It didn't answer her question, but it was the best response I could have expected anyone to come up with. I thought the questions would end there, and we'd be allowed to move on, but she kept bombarding Zephyr with questions, and the clock reached 5 before she was done.
Time to stop for now, Robert said. You'll be escorted to your hotel, and you'll need to stay there and not communicate with anyone.
I nodded without thinking. I didn't plan to do much other than eat some decent food and rest in a good bed, but I was worried. The trial was very one-sided, and the jury was showing signs of disliking us. There was no way I was letting anyone see my concern, however. Instead, I allowed myself to be escorted out, and the three of us were driven away from the courthouse, Zephyr having to fly once more. It was raining, and he was less than impressed when it took almost an hour to get us up to the room and through the balcony doors. In the end, they had to remove a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?